Wednesday night here in Maseches Ksubis. We're going to finish tonight the topic of Knas. What exactly is Knas before the Amod Abedin? Because after the Amod Abedin, the Gemara really, what? It's a free country. It's an honor of us to have you. We're talking about Knas, that there are indications in the Gemara that before the Beis Din Paskens Yom Chuyav Knas, nothing really exists, and that's in contradistinction to Minas, where Yom Chuyav right away, and Beis Din just determines that that's the case. And after the Gemara Din, though, I would ask the question this way, I could be like acute about it, really. After the Gemara Din, it's pretty clear that it's a regular momentistic achiyav. After Beis Din Paskens Yom Chuyav Knas, you now owe $100, or 100 shekel, or 50 shekel, whatever the case may be. So when are you Mechuyav Knas? If the Yerushalmi is right that before the Beis Din Paskens, nothing exists. And after, it's you Mechuyav Momen. So when are you Mechuyav Knas? So we've seen various achronim interpret it in various ways, and today we were going to see what the Baron says about it, Mishnas for Baron, and then we'll call it quits. Everybody really basically, they just have different spins on it slightly, but everybody basically talks the same way, generally. Let's see what the Baron says it this way. Benira, lovoy labir inyan bagdomas beer ikar boya da. Okay, he's talking about Abaye Sofek. Kshaosa od the Maisa and Machaibo Knas. Maybe I could put it all together and just, you know, make it all come together. We've seen that everybody's motive when you do a Maisa, like you say, Machal Shabbos. So you're Machuyav Misa. Now, you're not actually Machuyav Misa yet. You're not actually Mechuyav Misa yet. Everybody is molded, and it's Beis Din. Everybody's molded at before Beis Din Paskens that you're Mechuyav Misa, you are, there's something lacking. You're not Mechuyav Misa. You're not a Gavrik Taylor. So, what does it mean? On the other hand, it says the term Mechaleleho Mois Yumot. It says, you know, if you perform, there's nothing magic about Beis Din. You perform the pula, you mechuyav misa. So, what would it be by misa? I would say we talked about a latent chiyav, a potential chiyav. But I'd rather say it this way. He's not actually, in other words, you have to say is that the Beis Din, when it comes to an Onesh, they are dumb, so the Beis Din, in other words, that's like L'shamay. In other words, like you said, Chorus is Mechuyav immediately, right? So that's L'shamay. So he did the action, he's Mechuyav Chorus. So I would call it Mechuyav Misa, like in Dinei Shemayim is Mechuyav Misa immediately. The Chiddush of the difference between Momon and Misa, let's say, is that Momon, you're Mechuyav even like in this world immediately. You have to take $10 out of your pocket and give it to the person. Right. So I'm saying there's a world of Shemayim, we'll call it, just like we find in all of Shas, in Bava Kama, we'll call it. Forget about all of Shas in Bava Kama. You find Dinei Shemayim, Mechuyav in Dinei Shemayim. By Bar Bishema, you find Mechuyav in Dinei Shemayim. In other words, there's, just like in Mechuyav Paras immediately. So you really, you are Mechuyav Misa immediately, if you're Mechal Shabbos. But that's in Dinei Shemayim. Now, by Momin, there's no Chilin. By Momin, you're Mechuyav in Dinei Oretz immediately too. you taka owe him $10 immediately. By Misa, we say
whether the Beis Din says so or not.
Whether the Beis Din says so or not. And if a person dies and it was never taken to Beis Din, he's going to have to come back in a Gilgul, and he's going to have to repay that $10. He Bepoyel owed the $10 to someone else. By Misa, by Onesh, that seems to be the common denominator. When there's an Onesh, like Misa, or Malkus, or Knas, then we say, you know, as soon as you do the Maisa, so in Shemayim, you might be Mechuyev, but the Onesh, by its nature, has to be administered down here Ba'aretz. And for down here Ba'aretz to be administered, the moment doesn't have to be administered by anybody. It's not an Onesh. I owe him money. So I don't need a Beis Din to administer anything. So therefore the Beis Din's finding is only
Birur
to make it clear so that if I deny it, he can come and take away my karka, he can collect for me, they can make a lien, they'll force me to pay it. But they don't really do anything because it's not an onus. Because by its nature it's something that is just as valid without a Beis Din as with a Beis Din. An onesh, misa, malchus, knas, by definition, and this is what Rebbe Elchanan says, really, this flavor comes from what we saw in Kovitz Shurim yesterday. An onesh, by definition, is something administered by a Beis Din, right? I can't jump off a roof and say I gave myself misa.
It wouldn't be misa Beis Din.
Right.
Right,
which the onus is Mises Beis Din, and the Malkus is Malkus Beis Din, and the Knas is Knas Beis Din. In other words, because the onus is that the court administers the punishment.
But is Knas really...
Let me finish the thought. Knas is onus. The key word is onus. Once it's something that the Torah considers onus, it's administered by, how should we call it, Hashem Shluchim, by a Beis Din. By Hashem's court. It's like Elohim Nitzav Adas Kel. The court administers the onesh. So until the court makes its finding that you mechuyev the onesh, you're not mechuyev the onesh where it counts, which is in Beis Din. So you mechuyev l'shamayim, but that doesn't really have any effect here ba'aretz. Here the onesh has to be administered by Beis Din. And for Beis Din to administer it, they have to make the finding that you mechuyev it. Until they make the finding, it's not just missing the clarification, the birur. Until they make the finding, so it doesn't exist to them. It doesn't exist to them. The reason all of a sudden it's relevant and we care whether or not it exists to them is because they're the ones that have to administer it. It's not just me. Money is just me. I owe you money. The Beis Din is not involved in an intrinsic sense. They may be involved to force me to pay it, but they're not involved in the chiyuv. The chiyuv is me owe you.
Right, but can't you say the same thing with Knas by Mises Beis Din and Malkus? They're the ones that actually inflict the punishment. Okay?
So Knas?
Knas are forcing him to pay, but...
So that's only that's superficial similarity to moment. But that's what we have to realize, and that's what comes out of all these Gemaras. That Chiddush, that Knas, although it's money, but it's since it's primarily an Onesh. So there's an Onesh of Malkus where I hit you, where Beis Din hits you. There's an Onesh of Misa where Beis Din may miss you. And then there's an Onesh of Mammon where Beis Din takes away your money. But it's like saying, if you would take the money out of your pocket and give it, it would be meaningless. Beis Din has to administer the onesh, just like they have to administer all ownership. That's the idea. They see that's why Modi B'Knas is Potter. Now we have a deeper insight into Modi B'Knas Potter. Because Modi B'Knas means, here, take a picture. Take a picture. The Arabic. We'll put it up by Parshas. My Parshas Va'era, we'll put up Makas Arba.
Should have brought one of them over here.
That's a deeper understanding of Moedim B'Knas Potter. Because if I'm Moedim means, hey, I'm ready to pay it myself. So we say you're potter. It's like it takes away the whole thing is that it's a bezdin administered punishment.
So then, according to that definition, should pay knas, even though it may go to the Bavaris and the Nara or whatever.
The father, yeah.
You know, the father. Then should it be paid to the Beis Din first, and then the Beis Din forwards it, or should it be paid directly?
It's paid directly, but you're right. That's just because the Torah said, like I said, the Torah could have said, throw your money in the ocean. It's just an onus. The Torah really could have, it's like you pay a ticket, a fine. Really, they can tell you, take your money and throw it in the ocean. They said, give it to the father. But it's a knas, meaning the primary thing is that you're being punished, that you have to, a monetary penalty. So theoretically, you would give it to the bezdin and they would give it to us. So we don't bother doing that. But in a sense, that is what's going on. Like the, what? I'm saying that's a deeper understanding of Maida B'Knas Potter is because when you're ready to do it yourself, so then you're already emasculated the whole idea of Bezdin administering the onus. If he's Moda, he did it. He comes to the Bezdin. He says, yes, I did it. I'm ready to pay the Knas. Moda and Knas is Potter. It's a rule all over Shas. You're worried about him getting punished?
If I steal something and I bring it back, and then I stole it, so that's Moda and Knas Potter.
And what are you Potter from?
He's not, what he's saying, I think, is you still have to pay a carat. Here, you're not doing anything.
Is he worried about the girl? She'll get boishas, ufagam, and sar. Now listen, she gets boishas, ufagam, and sar.
So the maestro only has to make rape the girl, and then if he goes to Beis Din and says, look, I just raped this girl, then he's not going to that. That's the one that does not
fuck. Yeah. You're worried about the Torah. And if I have my ox gore and Evet Knani, I just walk into Bezdin and say, my ox gore and Evet Knani, and I'm Potter. And if I walk into Bezdin and say, I stole, so I'm Potter from Kefal. So, you want to know, in its wisdom, why did the Torah say, Potter becomes Potter? I'm explaining why, I think. But, and you worried about that he's getting away with murder? So he's paying boshes of Bagam and Tsar anyway.
If he's moed, he's chayav Malkus and Misa, you still give him Malkus and Misa.
Wrong. If you have Eidim.
You have to marry her?
If a person's moed, then he's moed. No,
understood.
If a person marches into Bezdin and says, I'm Mechal Shabbos, you don't give him Misa.
No, but then the two Eidim come afterwards. You don't say because he was moed and an onus.
If it doesn't have that aspect. Okay.
So what's the difference whether it's a
knas? Doesn't have that aspect. That you learn out from a pasuk. So that pasuk is only by monetary knas. I don't know. It's only by knas, really. Misa and Malkus are not really called knas. Rather, Rashi and Malkus, we saw yesterday, uses the rule of Moedim and Knas Potur even by Misa. And Tosfos wonders about that. So we said yesterday that Rashi is referring to the first part of the din, that can't be mechayiv yourself. That part of Moed B'Knas Potter exists even by Misa.
Did we ever explain then why the Av gets the money at all?
Wait. Let's go off on a tangent. We're talking about Knas.
No, I'm talking about Knas. Why would it go? You said,
we said yesterday.
You said he would give to the Av. Yesterday, why would he give to the
Av? We said yesterday, there's probably a machlokas we've shown it. The Rambam calls it Shvach Ne'urim. It's probably totally in the machlokas Tosfos and Sanhedrin and Tosfos here in Ksubas. Whether or not the case of the machlokas is by Baal Bito, and then she's, or by Baal Bito, and then she's Bogra. So according to Tosfos here, theoretically she would get the money, And according to Tyson's Sanhedrin, he says that's absurd. He did it. How could he owe himself money? So he said it's Taloi if the Chiyuv is Tahar Be'etzem, except the Torah gave him a schus of the money, or he's considered the Baldavar and the Torah gave it to him.
This I'm all okay with. I just don't understand why it goes to either. Why does it go to any? It should go to the Beis Din, or it should go to the. You said theoretically it would go to the Beis Din and they would pay
it. Like every class. So you could have.
You said like a traffic ticket. It goes to the government. It doesn't go to the.
So the Torah decided.
Almost hit.
I don't have an answer to you. The Torah decided it goes to the aggrieved party. The Knas of Kefel, the Knas of Arba B'Chamisha, the Knas of Shloishim Shalevet.
I always understood that as like an extra compensation. Like the Knas is.
Okay, but it's still an onesh. That's the point here. If you see it doesn't exist before Hamad Bedin, and you see in that way it's like Misa and Malkus, right? And that's Yerushalmi that you can't be mochel it before because it doesn't really exist. And you see from the Gemara and Malkus that Knas doesn't exist before the Beis Din Paskin. And you see from all the Rayas we've seen that to some degree, Knas, this is what we're trying to explain, that it doesn't exist before the Gemara and Din. So we're saying because it's together an onesh, and the onesh by definition is administered by the Beis Din. So until Beis Din clarifies that it has to administer the onesh, it's like it doesn't exist. What does it mean you b'chiyuv of Misa right away? Because you did the action. It means l'shamayim, like you b'chiyuv of Koras. So l'shamayim you b'chiyuv of Misa. It's like in Dinei Shamayim you b'chiyuv of Misa. But that doesn't do anything b'aretz. Because Ba'aretz, the Beis Din has to administer the onesh. And the Beis Din doesn't know if it's true yet. So when they find out it's true, then the Chiyuv is chal.
So
in the only case that Nar Basul is two witnesses from the room.
Yeah.
What? How stupid is that? So we're going around raping people's eyewitnesses?
Well, how do you know he raped? Who said he raped? Nobody did. You need to wait them to say he raped. Why are you assuming he raped?
It's a normal case where he should go to they bring him, they beat him up and he admits it. His mother. I think that would be much more scary.
But that's what you want? You want to be Mechayev a guy Knas because someone beat him up and he admitted because he was tortured that he did it? How would you go about establishing that someone did it? In your world where, hey, we can't have people going around raping women, I'll agree with you, but now I'll turn to you and say, how would you, though, determine, let's say you decided you don't like me, so you accuse me of raping a woman, and that's not to take an ass, that's not fair. How would you go about establishing if it's true or not? But that's patently unfair and ridiculous, and how can we have a world? No, you know, not without witnesses.
He admits it.
Okay.
But if he admits it, then the Beis Din can't impose visa on him. But
okay, but then but you need him to admit it. So that you're willing to live in a world where he has to admit it. The answer to your question is a very. I want to answer you. It goes to the fundamental core. Goes to a very fundamental idea of Yiddishkeit. I want to answer you with two yourselves. You're worried that there's going to be a world that's going to look like Faith Bosnia, right? Where they just go around raping women, doing what they want, right? That's what you're afraid of. There's two answers. First of all, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we believe the world is not Hefker. Hashem won't allow this imaginary society that you're conceiving of. It won't happen. There will be two Adam there. Or it won't happen. Hashem will not. You're thinking of this hefker, unfair, totally lawless society. So you have to have a moon on it. That doesn't happen. Hashem doesn't happen. Hashem protects the women. But that's kosher with my second point. You say, in the Torah society, you have to understand, in a Torah society that's insisting on two Eidim, everybody is wearing tefillin, and they're saying Kriya Shema twice a day, and they're giving something. The same Torah that demands two witnesses is also creating a society where people don't go around raping, where people are wearing tzitzits. So it goes together. The Torah, don't worry about the Torah. How could the Torah do such a... You're thinking of America, you're thinking of the Goyim, you're thinking of Africa, the Schwarzes. Please forgive me if you're friends of the blacks. But everybody's molded that in Africa they're savages. They were always savages. They were civilized by people that made them slaves, ironically. But they were the savages. B'nai Chum lived like savages. The Torah that requires two Eidim, and you're imagining the worst of society, because if you need two Eidim, then all hell's going to break loose. But that same Torah teaches us to control ourselves, and to only eat kosher food, and to daven, and to wear tefillin, and tzitzis, and have a mezuzah on your door, and to give tzedakah, and to do chesed, and to care about someone else, and arba avos nezikin, ashor, amor, amava, vaheder. So you're going to end up with a pretty good society. And the proof is, history, that although the requirement of two Eidim always existed, I'm sure if you took a historical survey, scientific historical survey of rape incidents, right? I'm sure Jewish from society rates at the bottom of the ladder, at the total bottom of the ladder. And we're the only ones that say you need two witnesses. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Very important. What? What do you care? What do you care? And if the Gemara Makkah says that Beis Din killed somebody for murder once every 70 years, so what do you care? What do you care? You should only care if it'll result in a lawless society. So first of all, you should know there's always two remedies. If it ever happens, your nightmare, there's always two remedies. Beis Din has a power to step in and suspend the requirement for Eidim and for Hasra. They have extra legal powers. It's in Hilchos Sanhedrin. If there's a breakdown in society, they have extra legal powers. It's called Beis Din Makin Ba'onshin Shalom and Hadin, even when it's not technically okay. And you have a melech. Our society is supposed to have a melech that can always judge whenever he wants to with his own rules. He doesn't have to follow the Torah rules. So there's always two breaks, B-R-A-K-E-S, to the wall of society that you're afraid of.
But you also have the end-all, be-all, the third break, and the third break is Hashem. I mean, you're already at the Chayat Karas.
Right.
Okay, so...
Well, that's already if the Mayavas... And again, we believe in Hashem. So we believe Hashem will not unfairly have a lawless society. So you have Hashem. You have that the same society that needs to aid them is wearing tefillin and tzitzis and saying Kriya Shema and learning and giving tzedakah and doing chesed. Right? And the proof is that that's... The proof is that history shows that. The lowest incident of every conceivable crime is by the Jews. They're the lowest, right?
Blue collar crime.
What?
White
blue collar crime.
We're up there in the
highway. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. All kinds of crime. You think the Goyim are not 100 times worse? 100 times worse. 1,000 times worse.
I think when the Jews do it, it makes the news more because they do it better, so to speak. Bigger.
Falling prey to the propaganda.
I was thinking
the anti-Semites and anti-Haredim. The incident is the reason it makes news is because it's man bites dog. When the goyim do it, it's dog bites man. So it barely gets into the paper. When a Jew does it, you hear about it and everybody talks about it. And it's headlines, and they always refer to him as a Jew. They don't say the Catholic. They found the Catholic Ganov yesterday. They never say a Catholic Ganov, but they always say the Jewish Ganov. There's nothing to say. The incident is the lowest. Ask any police station in the world. In all the years of Golus, Golus came in Eretz Yisrael. Also, you're talking about not from people. You're taking into account too that I'm even granting you the not from people. It's still the lowest rate. But if you take away not from people, you know, it's even lower. Any crime statistically, the lowest is by Jews, and then by from Jews, kosher. Anyway. That's the chat, so don't worry about the requirement of Eidim. Because when you don't have the requirement of Eidim is a judicial protection against you're accusing me of something because you don't like me. You have to have two Eidim. Okay. Anyway,
you have to have two Eidim for Knaab if he admits it himself. And he's putter from Chayav Misa from the Beis Din. Okay, is he still hired for Knas at that point? In other words,
he said, I raped my daughter, or I raped...
say daughter, because that's probably the job of me there.
But
so you're part of Knas, and you have to make the other payments. Well, you mean Misa?
Right, in other words...
You don't get Misa either. If you admit you did a Chiyuv Misa, you don't get Misa. Bezdin does not give Misa. Bezdin does not give Misa based on a person's admission.
Right, but would they still impose knas?
No. Modi b'knas potter. In fact, the primary din of Modi b'knas potter is by knas. Again, we learned tonight a deeper rationale for it. Because if I'm Modi and I'm ready to do it, to pay it, then it's not Bezdin administered anymore. And that, we're really omen on what the Rabbanan was saying. That for an onesh to be considered an onesh, so to speak, not so to speak, it has to be administered by the Beis Din. I'm saying, you could say that, but I'm just saying conceptually, to me now it makes perfect sense that Modi b'knas potter, because it's as if he's walking in and saying, it's okay, I'll give it on my own, I'm Modi, I owe it. We don't want that. We want to impose, it's a punishment. He's ready to do it, it's not a punishment. And that already is the next shlav, that's step two. Once we say that Beis Din has to impose it, that Beis Din has to administer it, then it makes perfect sense and logic to say that until the Beis Din determines that it's so, it doesn't exist. Because you're talking from the perspective of Beis Din. So until they know about it, it doesn't exist in their world. And they're the ones that have to administer it. My mom, and they don't have to administer it. So their finding out about it is only begeder birur. But by knas, or malchus, or misa, that it's an onesh. That's the common denominator, their onesh. And Beis Din has to administer it. So it's quite logical that till the Beis Din knows about it, nothing exists. What does exist? His chiyuv, like I call it l'shamayim. He has a chiyuv l'shamayim. Not Baritz, he doesn't have a chiyuv. L'shamayim he does.
So in this instance, we agree with the Yerushalmi that it doesn't exist until the Hamad of the day.
Right. So we don't have to learn from Baritz anymore. We said already much more than him. He talks very curtly, very short. The other says it's an onesh. Okay. Good. Okay. We'll just start just the very basics of the next sugya. On Chof Tesom at Beis, we're going to go to. On the top line. Now, what the Mishnah really gave, the Mishnah, our Mishnah, on Chof Tesom at Aleph, basically said a chiddush. That, we know that the parts of the Torah of Onis and Mefatim. So the Mishnah, and we said there's two punishments. We talk about an Onis. The monetary punishment. Fine, a knas, an onesh, and then he has to marry her. He has to marry her and he's not allowed to divorce her. We're going to see now, literally. We're going to see now. That's what we're going to see in this sugya. Now, in the Torah, in the Midiraisa society, where you can divorce a woman against her will, so the fact that he can't divorce her against her will is very—it's a very powerful statement. It says a lot. It's a very big weapon. He stuck with her. He has to marry her. I mean, you couldn't think of a better onus for a rapist that he has to marry her and he's not allowed to divorce her. Like poetic justice. Beautiful, beautiful poetic justice. But the Mishnah said a chiddush. The Mishnah talked about women that you're not allowed to marry. The Gemara said in the beginning, as soon as the Gemara started, Elo Nairos Sheish Lan Knas, and there's a whole list of women that are psulos that you're not allowed to live with, you're not allowed to be with, you're not allowed to marry them. So it gives a whole list. So the Gemara asks, Ani Nairos Psulos is Nuknas. Sheirus Lo. It sounds in the Mishnah like it's an exhaustive list. And then it only lists Psulos. Are you talking? The Gemara says, Elu Nairos Psulos Sheirus Nuknas. I guess it's like a Chisuri Metzora, or maybe it's not a Chisuri Metzora, it's just the intention of the Mishnah that it's saying a Chiddush. That Narshim Psulos also get Knas. Now, the Gemara asks, "Bamai ikri kan v'leisiel isha, isha haruyala." So now, again, we're talking about knas. So we have. So the first yesod is you have to know the Gemara daf mem. Lamaisa, he doesn't have to marry. He only has to pay the knas. Elu Noros Sheish Lan Knas refers to, Rashi says, paying the Chamishim Shekel. Paying the fine. Now what about marrying? So the Gemara on Daf Mem talks about that. And the Gemara knows that there's an assumption that you do not have to. You don't have to marry her. You have to pay the knas, but you don't have to marry her.
Is that up to her, or is that up
to... Not up to anybody. She's also. I'm talking about now a Mishnah, she's also. Not up to them. They're not allowed. That's the Gemara and Daf Mem's question. Why don't you say "Asay Doichalois Asay"? So the Gemara gives an answer. We're not going to go into the Gemara's answer now. It's very longish. It's very subtle. It's somewhat cryptic. And there's a big machlokes to show them what the Gemara's answer is. Please excuse me. Hello. Lo ani ben tashur. Kasheri lai achrei teisha v'chetzi. The seder ad achad shtayim. So the Gemara is, why don't you say I say deichelois I say? So the Gemara gives an answer, a very complicated answer. But rest assured, it gives an answer. So we know that you're not allowed to marry her because she's also. And the assay is not done for the low sasa. You're not allowed to marry him. That's on daf mem. Here we're talking about the money. So the Gemara's question is really a very funny question. Vani b'nei knosa ninhu, v'amai ikrikam v'loisiyah l'isha, isha haru yalo. In other words, the Gemara is asking, let's say the whole parsha is talking about only isha haru yalo. Why does our Mishnah assume and say that noros pesulos have a din of knas? The Gemara, but they're not ruyalo. It says v'loisiyah l'isha. Now, the Pnei Yeshua asks, what gives the Gemara the right to assume such a linkage? There's two dinim. You pay knas, and you have to marry her. You can't marry her because she's also, right? But you can pay the knas. Like, why does the Gemara ask, ikri kam v'loisiyah l'isha, isha ruyalo? Yeah, that's in v'loisiyah l'isha. When the pasuk saying he has to marry her, so she has to be isha ruyalo. Very nice. But the giving of the money, that's a different pasuk. So we have no problem. So what if she's not, if you're not allowed to marry her? Give chamishim kesef anyway. No problem. I don't see a problem.
Is that the question?
So how did the Gemara know to make such a linkage? That there's a parsha. So that's the question of the Pnei Yeshua. What gives the Gemara the right to assume such a linkage? Okay, we'll stop here. This is tomorrow night.